is Govern America. Govern America.
How's that for a doubleheader?
Boy, we're off to a rip-roaring start. We're just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, micro-FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is Govern America. At least I hope it holds together for the final, for the entire 3 hours. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here for the next 3 hours. Good to have you with us once again, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 14th of May, 2016, and for some reason my automation didn't fire again until late. I'm not sure what's going on with it. I'll have to see if I can look into that during the break, if in fact it rolls during the break. It's getting interesting more and more all the time. Well, speaking of getting interesting, there's never a dull moment here. We have Obama pushing the transgender agenda. This is what a lot of people are upset about this past week. This is really, you know, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I've heard for years in this country, when I've talked about different various events, people have always told me things like, even family members, especially family members, it doesn't affect me. You know, all that stuff just doesn't affect me. And they go about their lives, never bother to do anything, never bother to even try to get informed. It's all about entertainment. It's all about making a living. And I understand everybody's got to make a living. But, you know, NAFTA gutted your economy, put many of you out of work. And my question to you is, does it affect you now? You know, as you go on, your sons and daughters have been sent off to war zones for meaningless, purposeless wars, for national interests, and for various military-industrial complex company profits. And my question to you, as many of the people out there, and I don't know how many in this audience, but many of the people out there have empty seats at the table now. My question to you is, does it matter now? Does it affect you now? The pharmaceutical companies have drugged your kids. The government's mandating vaccines. Does it affect you now? And now, this past week, we have the government issuing a decree. Well, not really the government, just Obama, part of the government, acting as king through the Department of Education, issuing his decree that all public education schools in this country need to allow your daughter to shower with dudes. Okay? He's issuing his decree that your daughters should be allowed, guys should be allowed to come into your daughter's locker rooms, kindergarten, all the way up through 12th grade. So my question for all of you out there today, and my question for this entire nation, who have been sleeping, who've bleary eyes, finally waking up from their national nap, does it affect you now? Does it affect you now? Do you see why, how it affects you? I see like I'm upset today. Yes, I'm upset, because I'll tell you what, I look at this stuff, and I know I recognize it for what it is. I see it for what it is, people. It's cultural Marxism. This is nothing less than a deconstruction of our nation by communists. This is a communist plot. And I don't want to hear this bullcrap nonsense thrown back at me that, oh, well, this is just a bunch of conspiracy nonsense. Shove it in your face if that's what you want to say. Because the conspiracy theorists, quote-unquote, have been proven right over and over and over and over again. So it's high time you pull your hind in under your posterior orifice and start listening to us. Unless you just don't care. Unless you have no concern whatsoever, even for the children. You know, so much is done in this country in the name of helping the children. How many times do we hear this nonsense over and over again? Oh, well, we've got to get the guns out of the schools because the children. It's all about the children. Well, how is it protecting children to violate their innocence at the youngest of age by promoting so-called transgender? And folks, this whole nonsense about transgender is bullcrap too. There is no transgender people in this nation. There are no transgender people in the entire world. I'm sorry. If you're confused about who you think you're supposed to be, then you're mentally ill. There is plenty of mental illness in this country. And how are they getting that way? Well, you know what? I've got a lot of speculation I can do about that. And yes, that would be a conspiracy theory. Because I can't prove it. I can prove that the government was looking at a gay bomb, what they call the gay bomb. And I don't know how many other people are talking about that. But there are no transgender people. Well, how can you say that, Weeks? Because you're assigned a gender at birth. By God, well, at conception, excuse me. The moment you are conceived, you are either a male or a female. Now, you may not like what you're assigned, but I'm sorry. Last time I checked, you don't get to pick. Every cell in your body, if you're a man, every cell in your body, it's in your DNA. Now, there are rare instances where somebody is born with both genitalia. That's extremely rare. Almost never happens. In those cases, okay, I'll give you. That's a little bit of a difficult situation there. Most people are not like that. But I see this cultural Marxist nonsense going on in this nation right now, and I see the incredible destruction. If these communists that are pushing this nonsense get their way, ladies and gentlemen, I can't imagine what this nation is going to look like in 5 or 10 years. I can't imagine. And now people are upset. Well, people needed to be upset 10 years ago. People needed to be upset 20 years ago. Where were you, I ask you American people? You better get active. And I'll tell you right now, on a state level, this thing could be stopped. Texas has already, I think the Texas governor has already said he's not going to, he's instructing their education school boards in that state that they're not to comply with Obama's quote-unquote mandate. This needs to happen in all 50 states, will it? I highly doubt it. Because people are going to complain and moan and whine on Facebook. And you know what? At the end of the day, will they think of picking up the phone and calling the legislator and doing anything about it? I highly doubt it. Why? Because the American people take it on the chin and they've got the slave mentality. They think they can't do anything about it. But I can show you. I got a report here from Ron. Let me just go ahead and play this as a backgrounder in case you've been living under a rock.
We have some breaking news tonight out of Washington, D.C. The Obama administration is telling public schools that they must allow transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their gender identity. The directive is part of a formal guidance being sent to school districts tomorrow by the Departments of Education and Justice. The guidance is meant to clarify school districts' obligations to provide students with non-discriminatory environments.
Now, Now, here's a later report, and see if you can detect the Orwell speak in this report.
The same law that protects individuals from racial or gender discrimination, Title IX, also applies to transgender students. The Obama administration sent a letter today to every public school district nationwide, telling them to allow students to use bathrooms and locker rooms matching their gender identity.
What the framework does provide is advice for how school administrators can protect the dignity and safety of every student under their charge.
We believe a court, rather than a federal agency, should tell our state, our nation, and employers across the country what the law requires.
The letter is not legally binding, but there is an implied threat that schools who don't comply could lose federal education funds.
Okay, so, first of all, did you hear, I think that was Josh Earnest in that report, if I recognize his voice. And he's saying, oh, well, we need to protect the, how did he put it? The dignity of the students. The dignity. So we're going to have a tiny, tiny, tiny little minority of people that we've got to protect the dignity of. At the expense of the dignity of the vast, overwhelming majority of the rest. Do you see how this is? But see, this, ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens. Right here is what you happen. What happens when you put a community organizing communist in the White House. You get cultural Marxism everywhere you go. Obama is a community organizing Marxist. He's a communist. And he is going to do everything he can to destroy this country as quick. Hey, the exit door is on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen. He knows it. And before he has to go out that exit door, and no, he's not going to stay. People have been saying that since I've been involved in the Patriot effort about every president we have ever had. Oh, I don't think they're going to leave. Yes, he'll leave. Why would he not leave? Because people are too stupid to realize elections don't matter. All right, I'm going to try to settle down here. John in Tennessee is on the line, I believe. I'll go ahead and take him and see what's on his mind. Good morning, John.
Let me
just tell you, John, and everybody else, we have a new listener line. The one that was Liberty Radio provided a listener line for us. And we didn't give it out publicly because there was only a few slots there for people, and so. But we do have a new listener line for anybody. I don't know how many. I guess there's unlimited slots with this one. I have no idea. The number, if you want to listen to the show on your phone, that's not going to help people who are not listening today, but we do have it up on the website as well, on the Listen Live page. But it's area code 701, and the number is 801-8591. I'll repeat that a few more times just so you can get your time to get something to write it down. It's area code 701 and the number 801-8591. 701.
I got it, man.
Yeah, 701-801-8591. 701-801-8591. Yeah, I just wanted to repeat that a few times.
Morning, Darren.
I'm sorry?
I'm enjoying your passion. I'm 100% in agreement with you.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't. And you know what? I don't really care. They can go pound sand. I'm just in that kind of mood today, man.
Well, it's getting real, isn't it?
Well, it better get real, and people better get off their duff and do something about this instead of just passing information around.
All right, well, I'm going to call in on the other line and listen. If I have something to say, I'll call you back.
All right.
Appreciate
Thanks.
What you do, man.
Yep, God bless. All right, that's John in Tennessee. Anyway, moving along here, we're talking about this transgender nonsense, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you know what? what else is there to talk about? The same stuff we've been talking about for years? You know, the border's still wide open. We still got the perpetual wars going on everywhere. We still got the economy teetering on the brink of disaster. We still got the Federal Reserve system doing its thing with the inflation and deflation cycles, robbing people of their money, their livelihoods, and their way of life. When will it matter to you? That's what I want to ask the American people. Facebook, playing around on Facebook, you know, trading information. I'm glad people are learning some things from Facebook, you know, as much as they may censor conservative news. And now Zuckerberg's out on the defensive now about that. Oh, he's conducting an internal investigation. Oh, wow. I guess we can really be concerned about what the outcome of that's going to be. But people, when you play in their sandbox, what do you expect? That's what I want to know. What do you expect? You're playing in their sandbox. They can censor if they want to censor. It's their website. Quit using it. That's your option. It's just like me. I can put anything I want on my website. GovernAmerica.com is my website, and I can put anything I want. Mark Zuckerberg has Facebook.com. That's his website. If he wants to censor it, he can censor it. Okay, that's his right. And yeah, I understand it's a mouth, but see, this is what's wrong with making something so powerful. If you pay attention to it, it's going to potentially deceive you. It's no different than watching the establishment media every single day. If you pay attention to Fox News and they want to lie to you about what's going on, then you're going to find out that you're going to see the world according to Fox News, unless you have any inkling to question what you're seeing and hearing. Same thing CNN or any of the others. But getting back to this transgender identity thing, Sue and Duke and the New American says, Obama administration says boys must be allowed to shower with your daughter. Should your daughter have to share showers with a boy and have him competing on her sports team? The Obama administration certainly thinks so, and its education department has just ruled that an Illinois school must allow a boy claiming to be a girl unfettered access to girls' facilities. Now, I'll skip the Chicago Tribune quote because we pretty much already know what's going on here. He says, first note that the above article, as all mainstream media now do as public policy, uses feminine pronouns to refer to what American thinkers Ed Straker in an Emperor Has No Clothes moment calls a disguised boy. Speaking of emperors, the media's altered eye habit is a bit like referring to a man fancying himself Napoleon as your Imperial Highness. Yet there's something in this matter universally unnoted. The Tribune has a line in that story saying school officials did not comply with Title IX, the federal law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex. The problem? Transgender activists have taken pains repeatedly to emphasize that gender is not synonymous with sex. They acknowledge that sex is a biological distinction, but they identify gender as a person's perception of what he is and claim that it often doesn't match his biological sex. For instance, the homosexuality activism organized GLAAD states in its media reference guide on transgender issues that sex is a combination of bodily characteristics, including chromosomes, hormones, internal and external reproductive organs, and secondary sex characteristics. It then explains that a person's gender identity is one's internal, deeply held sense of one's gender, which used to apply only to language, word division into masculine, feminine, and neuter. In the first place, in fact, the notion that human gender exists and is different from sex is the very basis, the central tenet, of the transgender movement. It is why it's called the transgender movement and not the trans-sex movement. Yet the law cited by the DOE, the Department of Education, Title IX, unconstitutional to begin with,
clearly addresses only discrimination on the basis of sex. And of course, the transgender movement is a recent phenomenon. And there you have it, listeners. Why is this? Why do we have this popping up right now? Why is this going on right now? You know, I saw the governor being drilled by PBS the other day when this first thing broke this past week. And he was on there, and he did a pretty good job at warding off the attacks. The only problem is, and I think this was like the North Carolina governor. It was neither North or South Carolina. The one that's really fighting this thing, and they're going to fight it out in federal court, listeners. And that's what his talking point over and over was, is the courts need to weigh in on this. We need guidance from the courts. Well, why do we need guidance from federal courts? Why do we need courts? Who exalted these black-robed demons to be the god of the universe? That's what I want to know. You've got state legislators in the Carolinas, do you not? You've got state legislators in nations all across, or states all across this nation. Why is it that the black-robed demons all of a sudden have godlike power to rule over us? And federal black-robed demons, no less. Why is this? How? Who has exalted these people to be the rulers and the dictators? Our masters. Do you see how this is going down? Oh, states can't make their own laws anymore because they can be overturned by the federal. The federal. You know what? The states need to say, you know what, feds? I don't care about your courts. We're not going. Go pound sand. What are you going to do? Bring your military in and bomb us to smithereens? I'll tell you right now, listeners, that happens again, and you're going to end up finding out. A whole lot of people are going to end up waking up. I got a feeling people are fed up enough right now with all the crap that's going down in this nation. I don't think you'd have a small percentage of the populace against the federal government like you did between the war during the war between the states. I mean, which divided this nation. I think the remnant would be much bigger this time. The rift would be much bigger this time. There's a reason why people are in open rebellion and against this nation. There's a reason why there are agents provocateur and there are people within our midst, even in the Patriot effort, in the Patriot movement, who have risen up and operated as a steam valve, a pressure release valve, to allow the public the ability to vent, to keep everything from blowing up. There is a reason why the feds are doing this. Why would they be doing it? Because they know people are at the end of their collective ropes, their individual ropes. You can only steal so much from a people until they're about to come ballistic on you. And the feds know this. People are furious about this and many other things, but it's good to be furious. It's good to get angry, but eventually the anger will pass. What's going to happen with that anger? That anger needs to be channeled into action. Otherwise, it's pointless. You're going to continue to take it on the chin. And what's next? Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't value your children and grandchildren, and I've been screaming this for years, when they tell you your daughter has to shower with a dude, I open the show with the question, does it matter now? Does it affect you now? What are they going to tell you next? You see, well, you know, a lot of people, and my wife read me a post. See, I'm not on Facebook, but my family is. My wife read me a post that somebody, some public school teacher posted on Facebook. And they said that I am a firm supporter of public schools, but it ends here. Fine. What are you going to do about it? A lot of people are going to pull their kids out of the public schools, or will they? I believe many will. But many of them will just complain and moan and cry and scream and yell and put up meme pictures, M-E-M-E, meme pictures, those little pictures with the captions on them. Yeah, they'll put those up, talking about how evil Obama is and how bad the justice or the education department is. But folks, they have been transitioning your kids with outcomes-based education, Goals 2000, Race to the Top, workforce development programs, No Child Left Behind, and now Common Core. They've been changing your children's values. They've been manipulating everything that your kid believes behind your back, undermining your parental authority, and this has been going on for the better part of a half a century. And now you're just learning. Well, this is just really bad. Oh, I can't believe what they're doing in this public schools. Hello? Hello? Welcome to the world. Welcome to the New World Order. This is what it's about. So, does it affect you now? Do you see the importance of being involved in our day-to-day operation here? I'm not talking about my operation. I'm talking about what's going on in your neighborhood. What's going on in your state? Do you see why it matters? Do you see that it affects you? And my question is, if you do, what are you going to do about it? Okay, we're up against the break. I guess I'll go ahead and take the break. And thankfully it fired. And we'll be back in a moment. This is Govern America. Retain Duckworth brings us back into the broadcast. Very, very relevant song for today. I'm sorry that it's this way, but this is what inaction gets you in America, ladies and gentlemen. Your liberty is being stolen from you, and your right to your privacy, your children's right to their privacy, is being robbed. Their innocence is being destroyed. This is nothing new from the social engineering programs, from sex education, and some parents did speak out. But everyone needed to be on board with this. Parents tend to be too busy. Grandparents often tend to be the ones showing up to these meetings. And I'm no newcomer to educational issues, ladies and gentlemen. Back when I was a teenager, we were fighting the Michigan model for comprehensive school health education here in Michigan. And there were a bunch of parents that were going around. And, I was good friends with Bob Lemieux of the Dads Foundation, who was going around the state on his own money, on his own dime. Took donations from people, but for the most part, he got nothing. I mean, he was actually doing this at a loss to himself. And Bob was going around trying to open people's eyes. It was the mothers that came to him and informed him about this comprehensive school health education program, which was a pilot for the nation. But this thing truly was comprehensive. It involved everything, including mental health And there was information in that, actually a technique, which was a calming technique, supposedly, for students in the classroom. You see, once upon a time, when Junior acted up, the teacher had the ability to bend Junior over and give him a paddle. Now, parents will be investigated by the government if it's found out that you do this to your children. But in the absence of having the ability to enact discipline, and real discipline, I'm talking consequences for your action. Because you see, when you're a parent and your child gets older, you can take away privileges. You want to go to the movies over the weekend with your friends? Guess what? You're not going. I'm sorry, but you're acting up. You got to change your ways. You got to do something. Show some motivation. Whatever behavior you're trying to change, you can withhold privileges when they get older. When they're younger, they don't understand all that. From the time they're a toddler and they're getting into your knickknacks and getting ready to touch the hot stove and all this other stuff, you slap their hand. No. No. And immediately they test boundaries. They test lines. They push to see what they can get away with. Kids are smart. They're really smart rascals, and most of you know that because most of you have them. And they push and test constantly, trying to find out where the line is. It's their nature. And there are parallels here with the government as well. They're pushing and testing to see where the line is, people. Pushing and testing. When are the American people going to bend them over? When are the American people going to show this government where the line is? But children do this. Children do this. And now, since it's become unfashionable to spank your children, look at the mess we're in. Started with the school teachers. Oh, you can't touch them. That's abuse. Now, the government goes further and says, parents, social services will be knocking on your door. We found out. Johnny's come to school, and we asked him, "Hey, little boy, do your parents ever touch you?" Because, see, now schools have become a hotbed of social work activity. They want to inquire. They want to know everything about your family. And guess what? Little Johnny and little Susie don't have any idea. They don't have any foundation. No experience whatsoever that maybe I shouldn't tell. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. So they're an open book. They open up wide and they tell them everything. Yeah, we have guns in our homes. Oh, mommy and daddy fight. Pretty soon, you got a knock at the door. I didn't intend to get into all this today, but you know it's true. Those of you who have been paying attention for years, you know it's true. How does it affect you? Does it affect you enough to do something about it? I believe that there's going to be a certain percentage of people that are going to pull their kids out of school, public school, and there's going to be some people that homeschool. And that's a positive trait. But you got to know, if homeschooling, and there are some states that don't allow it, so you will not be able to disclose, you may even have to leave the state. They will try to take your kids in some places for this. Because, we've got truancy laws. But ladies and gentlemen, what's going to happen when homeschooling grows and grows and grows? They will be coming for the homeschoolers next. What will you do then? See, there's no substitute. You can't just pull out and say, that's it. It's over. My battle is over. I only care if my ox is being gored. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You have to stay in the fight. All right, I got a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and take the caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Darren. This is Harvey in Florida.
Hey, Harvey. How you doing?
I'm pretty
Maybe
well.
Maybe that's a bad question to ask at this point.
Yeah, I know. I'm fine and dandy myself personally right now. But
good.
You know, the American people, that's really the problem. They don't give a damn about anything. If you remember back to the Vietnam War, the wars which are still going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, you think those people are worried about which bathroom to use when we're bombing the hell out of them?
I think they would love to be able to have
women, children.
The luxury of worrying about those kinds of things.
Right, it just shows you how spoiled and sick and demented the American people are. They don't care about all the women and children that were being slaughtered in their name. Innocent, totally innocent people in Iraq. Matter of fact, imagine the people in Iraq were sitting there one day and they said, what do you think, America's going to bomb us? Aren't they the ones who put Saddam Hussein in charge of this place, who stole our country and gave it to Saddam Hussein? And now they're telling us because the Saudi Arabians, allegedly, took down some towers in New York City, they're going to come and bomb the hell out of us, looking for weapons of mass destruction that the Bush administration, the previous Daddy Bush, gave Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. You couldn't make this stuff up, and the American people don't care one whit, not one whit. Very few people ever spoke out, and the few that did shut up when their phones were being tapped and all, daring to come out against these wars.
Well, I'm convinced that whole Edward Snowden thing was exactly designed to do that, Harvey. Now, on one hand, it helped us out because it proved to all the people who have been rolling their eyes at us for years that we weren't wrong about the fact that the government is listening to you. And it made a lot of people, it brought a lot of people in some sense into our camp. But ultimately, the chilling effect on a lot of people to speak out and to voice their opinion, I think that's what the purpose of the thing was. I really do.
Yeah, to let the cat out of the bag. Of course you're being watched. This way you're self-censored. You wouldn't dare say anything. Even to call a radio show like yours, an honest, decent radio show, to dare voice your opinion is a very iffy thing. You know, most people are frightened to call. What do you think? You don't have any calls. Very few callers anyway.
Yeah.
I think two or three people call you every week.
Yeah.
The American people are cowards. It's a country full of cowards. The military are cowards. The whole country is a bunch of cowards. So, of course, imagine, and this whole thing about the transgender bathroom, don't you think it has something to do with Michael Obama, Michelle Obama, that she wants to be able to stop at a truck stop and use the women's restroom and get a peek at what real women look like? It's unbelievable. You couldn't make this crap up. It's beyond the human imagination. This is what they're worried about, as they still have wars. And how many countries are we droning? Are we killing? Are we supplying bombs? Are we dropping bombs? We know we're doing it in Somalia still. You know you're doing it in Libya still. You know you're doing it in Afghanistan still, in Iraq still.
Yeah.
And
do we even know how many
countless countries?
Do we even know how many people that we are doing it to? You know, we just found out this past week, I guess, that we have boots on the ground in Yemen. So the Nobel Peace Prize winning scumbag in the Oval Office, communist, is now, you know, who said, oh, the first thing I'm going to do when I become president, I'm going to put an end to these wars. You could take that to the bank. Well, gee, tell that to Muammar Gaddafi, you know, tell that to the Libyan people who that was a total UN operation. And you know, what does Hillary say?
He came, we saw, he died.
See, that's her opinion about the whole situation.
Isn't that one funny?
I mean, this is how...
Yes, it's real funny.
It's sick is what it is. And it just shows how mentally deranged these people are. They're mentally deranged.
And they're going to move her into the presidency. They have it designed to move her into the presidency.
Could very well happen.
She was responsible for all those deaths. And don't forget how many mercenaries from all over the world we've been picking up off the streets, the dregs of every society from Colombia and South America and every other low-life country we could find, where we take the dregs of society, train them and arm them and send them to kill innocent women and children around the world for us. I mean, this is, so the American people, what they should be bombing is maybe bombing the transgender bathrooms. Maybe that's what we should do. Let's bomb the new transgender bathrooms. What do you think?
Be careful what you ask for. I mean, because, you know, we may end up having bombs drop on us before it's over with. I mean, the way these foreign powers are, they're getting upset. They're getting very angry. We have Russia now doing a lot of things that, you know, buzzing, if we're to believe what we're told, okay? And that, you know, the first thing you got to do is question every bit of information you're being given. But supposedly the military has put out videos of them bombing our vessels at sea. Now, they're very upset now with the latest, this missile shield that we're installing right over near them. They're perceiving it as a threat. Well, gee, I can't imagine why. If they set up something like that near us, what would we do? I think we would declare it as an act of war. You know, and certainly sanctions, when you put sanctions on a country, that is an act of war. The Ukraine said...
Sure, we've done it time and time again. We did it right before World War II. We did it to the Japanese. We declared all kinds of sanctions. They couldn't get fuel, and we forced them to fight back. And then we said, oh, how dare them attack our Pearl Harbor.
Exactly.
So this is a tactic we use time and time again. We keep poking until there's an... And the people that win are the military-industrial complex. We keep making more weapons, and hopefully Russia will fly over those new installations that we have planned for Korea and for Eastern Europe, and we'll fly over them and render them harmless, just like they did to that ship. They went over to our most expensive sensor ship, remember, with all the high-tech gadgetry on it, and they turned it all off in the blink of an eye. So actually, Russia is the ally to the American people. They're doing a job that the Americans don't care to do and don't even look at. They don't even blink, because the real product of America is war. It's the last product we have: death, destruction, war. And what you're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg. It'll only keep getting worse, and that's what the American people. But they're worried about their bathroom rights right now. So.
Well,
we shouldn't disturb them too much.
Well, that's, you know, and that'll pass. That's the problem. It's going to pass. Well, listen, Harvey, thank you for your call. I appreciate you. I appreciate you being out there. God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and for your network.
All right.
You have a great day.
You too. Thank you. All right, that's Harvey in Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome to call in as well. 1-844-646-8376. That's 1-844-646-8376. Toll free, 1-844-646-8376. Continuing on here, I don't know how much more I want to say about this transgender thing. I didn't intend to spend so long on it. But this is just something that really... It got to me. It really got to me. The degree to which this country has slid, and I recognize it, as I said, for what it is. This is cultural Marxism. The current communist goals, read into the Congressional Record in 1963, folks. We need to revisit this. January 10th, 1963, in the Congressional Record, appendix page A34 to A35. It was given by the Honorable A.S. Herlong, Jr. of Florida. And he quoted from the book, The Naked Communist, by Cleon Skousen. If you go through these goals, you find out just how many of them actually have come to pass. But one of the goals here, goal number 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy. They talk about infiltrating the churches and replacing the revealed religion, whatever that is, with social religion. What do we got in our churches? Purpose-driven life, where they've significantly softened the message. Goal number 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Goal number 20, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making positions. They talk in here about free trade, listeners. Free trade. That's goal number 4. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Goal number 6, provide American aid to all nations, regardless of communist domination. What are we doing right now with the Trans-Pacific Partnership? You know, Harvey mentioned of the war in Vietnam. I wonder how all you Vietnam vets out there, people who went to bat for this nation in Vietnam, fought through that hell. Many of them coming back with Agent Orange poisoning. Countless of them. You know, I've told this before. My brother-in-law fought in Vietnam. He has nightmares to this day, ladies and gentlemen. He wakes up screaming to this day. He's still fighting the war when he goes to sleep at night. How many other people are in similar situations? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. And how many people are still going through similar situations with today's Vietnams? And yet, we're going to build Vietnam's economy through free trade. Your jobs, what little you have left, will be outsourced to Vietnam. How do you feel about this? Does it matter now? Does it affect you now? I was going to share an article because the question I had, where does all this come from? I believe all of this is mental illness. We've always had homosexuality, but it hasn't been as prominent as it is today. Now, some of this could be media social manipulation, and I'm sure that is, because there's a certain segment of the population that will go along with anything. If the in crowd is doing, if it's the in thing to do, hey, maybe I'll try it. So there's a certain number of people who are influenced by media and think, oh, well, that person's gender confused. Maybe I'm gender confused too. But I think it's deeper than that. I think, honestly, I think that there are people who are being damaged chemically. We got half the population on psychotropic drugs. And if the truth be told, it's probably greater than that. It's probably, I don't know, does anybody out there know what the percentage is? The pharmaceutical companies are pumping all this stuff into people's bodies everywhere you go. You've got fluoride in the water. You've got stuff being sprayed in the air. What is going on? Are people being chemically induced to be homosexuals? Are people being chemically induced to be gender confused? And see, I was looking at an article because I wanted to revisit this. I mentioned it either last week or the week before. I can't remember because everything seems to run together anymore. About the gay bomb. The military was looking at the possibility of creating a weapon chemically that they could spray on enemy troops and turn them into homosexuals. And it just so happens that there was an article in the Daily Times out of Pakistan reporting on this, which, I don't know, maybe they got it from some other place, but it was very close to what I originally remember reading. I was looking at this article on the Wayback Machine just last night, and today it's gone. Down the memory hole, listeners. Bye-bye. As if it never existed. Just like in Orwell's time. Orwell's 1984. Luckily, the Daily Mail has a version of this, and I'll share a little of it with you before it's gone, too. Scientists developed gay bomb to make enemy soldiers stop fighting and make love. It says, and one group of military scientists, and I don't know why it starts in the middle of a sentence, but that's what it says, certainly took the statement to heart. Okay, I see. All is fair in love and war, the old proverb goes. And one group of military scientists certainly took the statement to heart when they designed a gay bomb to make enemy soldiers irresistible to each other. Researchers from the U.S. Air Force submitted a 3-page proposal to Pentagon chiefs to develop lust-creating chemical weapon. And that's how it's worded, not a lust-creating chemical weapon. Anyway, it says a scientist at the Wright Laboratory in Dayton, Ohio, working to make American military might even mightier, made the discovery in 1994, according to detailed papers unearthed through a Freedom of Information request. Last night, they were finally rewarded. And God, you know the way they make these articles anymore? It's almost incoherent. There are misspellings everywhere. There are fragments of sentences. You know, I wonder if there's anybody even doing any proofreading on these articles anymore. But that's a side note. I'll tell you what, we're almost up to the break. And I found out that the problem wasn't with my automation that I had at the top of the show. The problem turned out to be with my atomic clock. It's not accurate. So, anyway... The point is that they were experimenting, or at least we're not told they're experimenting. What we were told is that they were looking at a possibility of doing this, and we're supposed to believe the whole project was abandoned. Some of the other things that they were talking about doing were creating something that would cause bees to attack, you know, be overly aggressive and attack enemy troops. And there was one that was a stink bomb, you know, a flatulence bomb designed to make the enemy be so stinky that you could literally sniff them out. These are ideas that were supposedly abandoned. And yet, were they really abandoned? How do we know they were abandoned? All right, we're at the end of this hour. Hour number two is straight ahead. This is Governed America. Please stay with us. GovernAmerica.com is our website. That's GovernAmerica.com. And the chat room is open at chat.GovernAmerica.com. There's a bunch of people in there. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Govern America. The website is GovernAmerica.com. www.GovernAmerica.com. By the way, I want to let, just in the way of a program note, I will not be here live next week. We're going to be doing a best of show next week because I have an engagement that I have to attend. So we will be here in a pre-recorded form next week and should be back the following week, Lord willing. So just to let you know ahead of time, I try to let you know when I can just to give you a heads up. By the way, for those that did not catch it during the first hour, we do have a new listener line. If you want to listen by phone, you're able to listen to our stream because the stream is up regardless of whether or not I'm on the air. We have a rotation of things that we're running that we're constantly adding to. And so you may find something interesting in there, maybe not, if you're bored and you know, you check the other networks and say, hey, you know, maybe I'll wander over here from time to time. Anyway, the stream is there 24/7 now, and we do have a listener line that you can connect in case you don't have internet access somewhere, you're out and about, whatever. 701-801-8591. That's the listener line. You can call in, listen live at any time, day or night. 701-801-8591. Again, 701-801-8591. It's kind of a nice little cadence there with that number. But anyway, that's the call-in line just to listen to the show. Now, if you want to call in and talk to me, that's a toll-free number, and that's 1-844-6-GOVERN. 1-844-6-GOVERN. Or you can the numbers are 1-844-646-8376. That's 1-844-646-8376. Always good to hear from the listeners. I'm going to try to leave the transgender thing behind. I certainly didn't intend to take the whole hour on it. I don't want to bore people. But in the way of letting you know, the various things are being sprayed from the skies, ladies and gentlemen. How this affects the psyche of the population is... I mean, we're seeing more and more people going nuts, people going crazy. We're seeing various things on the highways with the shootings. We're seeing people go off with mass shootings, and some of this stuff, I think, are MK Ultra type mind-controlled incidents. Are they all? Probably not. Because people are being we have the entire nation has really been turned into an experimental laboratory with these pharmaceutical drugs and the various things that are being introduced into our atmosphere. A good example of that, this was on the Drudge Report just yesterday from the week, how scientists are harnessing the ice-making powers of bacteria. Now, if you haven't looked at this, this was dated May 12th, just 2 days ago, the first major debate over genetically modified organisms in the late 1980s was not over tomatoes, salmon, or corn, but instead a type of bacteria that can raise the freezing point of water. Opponents have feared that the modified version, able to instead lower the freezing point of water, would spread into the wild and wreak havoc, possibly even altering the global climate system. Well, isn't that what they want to do? Don't they want to do something about... Don't they say all the time that you evil people out there are causing man-made global warming? And don't they want, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, the Common Core creeps? Yeah, they're talking about, oh, we need to geoengineer the atmosphere. We need to do something about all these, but about this bad climate situation. So it seems to me like this is exactly what they want to do. How do we know that they're not already doing this? Now, they say in this article, thanks to public uproar, we'll never know whether the ice minus bacteria would have wrought catastrophe or simply protected strawberries from frost as its creators intended. But scientists remain interested in harnessing the ability to manipulate ice. Recently, a group of researchers uncovered what they believe is the secret to its special talent, which they hope will enable them to create nanotechnologies that mimic it, ice minus the supposed risk. So this, and they go on to talk about this Pseudomonas syringae, which is the apparently the type of bacteria which induces ice to form around them. They call it ice nucleating bacteria. And they talk about how it's being used already to create snow on snow slopes, on ski resorts, and things like that. My question is, how do we know they're not spraying this in the skies right now? With all the classified documents, the classified information, I have a feeling if there's some way to manipulate the weather, they're going to do it. They talk in here about how it's more effective than other... Okay, here it is. A better understanding of the bacteria's role could lead to its eventual inclusion in more accurate climatic models. The bacteria outperforms artificial cloud seeding chemicals, suggesting its possible use as a rainmaker. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at around you all the various places where we've had flooding. We've had flooding in recent areas, and I mean, California is the most recent example. California, Texas, you know, many of the western states have been very dry in recent years. You seems like you either have a state of drought or you have a state of flooding. Why is this? Could it be because they're messing with the weather? Weather modification and geoengineering is certainly not new technology. And the time, you know, I come back to the Air Force report, Owning the Weather in 2025, which was put out years ago. And they pushed 2025 way into the future to convince you that they don't have the capability to do it now. When we know good and well, they made it flood over the Ho Chi Minh Trail, you know, in Vietnam. They flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail. This is well documented. It was even on the Weather Channel. They cut off supply lines. They extended the monsoon season. So these technologies are not new. And as technologies mature, so do the techniques for these technologies. So is it conspiratorial? Is it crackpot conspiracy theory to say that they're tampering with the weather? I don't think so. And just to talk about them spraying bacteria from the sky, ladies and gentlemen. And I say, what are they doing it already? Here we see from a website called yournewswire.com, which cites KOMO television. They say the Washington State Department of Agriculture have approved a, and there's a hyperlink here, or you can link to a government website, and this will be in the show notes. The Washington State Department of Agriculture have approved a pesticide bacteria spraying program to be used over Seattle in an attempt to kill Asian and European gypsy moths. The program, opposed by many residents, will spray a bacteria with pesticide properties called Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT, the same bacteria gene commonly used in genetically modified crops to kill insects. Did you catch that? The same bacteria gene commonly used in GM crops to kill insects. Just reading that statement, you've got bacteria genetically modifying into your crops. They're adding it to your food. They're tampering with your food. Does it matter to you now? Apparently not. To some, yes. To many, no. Anyway, author Cassius Camarampi from Era of Wisdom writes, and quotes KOMO television, which says, an area in Vancouver will also be sprayed Saturday. Then the states moves to onto Kent, Lacey, Gig Harbor, and others. This year, the WSDA will use, and I guess that's the Department of Agriculture, will use a red and white fixed wing plane to drop the pesticide 250 feet above ground level. Asian and European gypsy moths have been detected this year in Washington. The invasive insect have ferocious appetites for maple and oak and foliage from trees and plants. The Washington State Department of Agriculture says the damage caused by the moths would have serious economic and environmental implications. So, Cassius asks the question, she says, does anybody have a problem with this? Given the shady history of the U.S. government testing harmful bacteria on civilians, such as San Francisco or New York City in 1966, Navy Operations Sea Spray, citizens would be wise to test the state and somehow observe for themselves what is happening here. Sure, it could be relatively innocuous, but it's necessary for the people to be a check and balance to the state, to this bureaucracy of the Department of Agriculture. Do you see a theme here in this program, ladies and gentlemen? Does anybody see a theme? States have the power to stop things. In this case, it's the state doing it. But when federal mandates are handed down. People have to be involved in putting a check on government. This is what we mean by govern America. Get involved. Do something. Don't sit on your duff and soak it all in. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point? All right. Bacteria being sprayed from the skies. Here we see from the Los Angeles Times, federal judge rules Obamacare is being funded unconstitutionally. Now, even as the government poisons you with your food and sprays bacteria from the skies, which, what is it going to do? Possibly make you sick, wouldn't it? And, you know, this Affordable Care Act, we talked about how the rates are going to go up in 2017. This is something they've already told us. And now we have court rulings which are designed to make it less of, you know, in other words, pulling the rug out of the front from the people who are, this is wrong on so many levels, it's hard to even describe it. Because the Affordable Care Act makes things so unaffordable that the poor could never afford any of it. And so these subsidies are being introduced to try to make it more affordable for the poor. So it's welfare through the healthcare system for the less privileged, okay? And it's that the court says that's not, you can't do that. So it's going to hurt the poor if this decision stands, because they're not going to be able to afford healthcare, if you can call it healthcare. But regardless, more than likely it will be overturned. However, what we're dealing with Obamacare is we're on the road to collapse, because this cannot stand. There's no way this program can sustain itself. It was designed, in my opinion, to fail from the very beginning, and it will fail because there's no way it can possibly work. And what will be introduced in the ash heap of this Hegelian mess that's been created? I believe it'll be the single-payer system, which has been the goal all along. They want a completely socialist, state-controlled healthcare system. That's where we're headed. It will be dictated by the top down, and once they get that, everything that you do will be dictated from the top down as well. Every behavior is a potential healthcare hazard. Everything you put into your mouth is a potential healthcare hazard. Now, Josh Earnest reacted to this court decision.
This is not the first time that we've seen opponents of the Affordable Care Act go through the motions to try to win this political fight in the court system. There are a couple things that are unprecedented about this effort, though. This suit represents the first time in our nation's history that Congress has been permitted to sue the executive branch over a disagreement about how to interpret a statute.
Okay, right now I want to jump in here, because earlier I was talking about who is it that appointed these judges to be the rulers over all of mankind? How is it that all of a sudden you have Congress, the lawmaking body for the federal government, now going to the courts instead of making law, crafting legislation as the legislative branch of any entity is supposed to do? They have the power to completely overturn this Obamacare. They have the power to completely undo the whole thing. And guess what? Last time I checked, the Republicans, not the Democrats, the Republicans have the majority in both houses, do they not? If I'm wrong, somebody correct me here. But last time I checked, that was the case. So the Republicans, if they wanted to, could undo this whole thing. What do? They turn to the courts. They turn to the other branch of government to try to supposedly remedy the problem. What is wrong with this picture, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you what's wrong. We have a dysfunctional government on all levels. And the courts are being given unbelievable control to rule. These black-robed demons have been given unbelievable control to rule over you. Everybody needs to be questioning this.
There have obviously been significant differences between the executive branch and Congress recently, but these are the kinds of political disputes that characterize a democracy. And
oh, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have a democracy. It was never designed to be a democracy. But even if the Constitution didn't define it as a republic, okay, let's just suppose for a minute it was a democracy. Do the people have any say in anything that goes on? Do they really? I mean, seriously, really? No, 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 they don't.
It's unfortunate that Republicans have resorted to a taxpayer-funded lawsuit to refight a political fight that they keep losing. They've been losing this fight for 6 years. And they'll lose it again. My colleagues at the Department of Justice obviously just started reviewing the ruling because it was just handed down a few minutes ago. So any sort of formal announcement about an intent to appeal will be announced from the Department of Justice, but we are quite confident in the power of the legal arguments that we're able to make here.
You know, as I listen to this scumbag, what goes through my mind is he's got the exact same cadence that Obama has in his delivery. I find that interesting. I don't know why that is, but if you notice how he pauses in between, you know, during his sentences, and how he'll make a statement and then have a short quip after that. I mean, this is the same kind of cadence that Obama talks with when he's not using the teleprompter. I find that really interesting, and I wonder if it's not that he's been listening to Obama for too long that he started to somehow subconsciously mimic him, or what the case is. But when you listen to Josh Earnest, at least in that clip, because you can only take so much listening to Josh Earnest. Anyway, moving along here. The border situation. That's always a fun topic. KRGV Television. A landowner living near Rincon said illegal crossing activity has started to pick up in the area. Now, this was May 11th, just a few days ago. The landowner named Junior asked Channel 5 News not to use his name. Now, why do you think this is, listeners? Because he's scared. He's scared of what these people coming across the border, who they are, and what they plan on doing to him if he talks. And that's the point. You have drug cartel, drug traffickers, people that... We've got a civil war going on in Mexico right now. And is the media talking about it? I don't hear them talk about anything. The only thing I hear them talking about is this worthless presidential campaign. Going on and on. Ugh, Trump this, Hillary that, Sanders this. There's never any substance to anything. Do they ever talk about the border anymore? I haven't seen it. And yet we've got this. Do they talk about the Mexican Civil War going on right now? Because that's what it is. They're having shootouts again. They're having beheadings again. This whole thing is flared up. There is a cartel war going on in Mexico. How much is this being talked about? So these people along the U.S.-Mexican border are understandably scared. Junior, this rancher, said sometimes he sees small groups of people walking through the rancher after crossing the Rio Grande River. That's how, you know, again, incoherent the way this is worded. That changed a few days ago when he saw a big crowd. When I do see a group, it ranges between 5, 10, maybe 15. But 10 days ago, I saw 30, 40, almost 40 people. I knew something is coming up. It's changing, he says, and it's not changing for the good. Well, this is because of the policies, listeners, of this government, encouraging them to come. And why is this happening? The North American Free Trade Agreement, listeners, that's why it's happening. It's globalism. Globalism is causing your borders to be dropped. That's what it's all about. All right, John in Tennessee's on the line. Let's go ahead and take John. Hello, John. What's on your mind? Whoops, I thought I took the button.
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is. Okay, go ahead.
Darren, you know, you're recognizing similarities in cadence and intonation in Josh Earnest and Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't with them, but I have with participants in the TED conferences. They speak the same way. So it caused me to look something up, and you brought this up, so there's a reason for it. It's methodology in that. Let me see the title of this article I've been reading. It's a book, Methodology in African, Methodology in African Prehistory, a book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you click on that, there's a paragraph that actually is called Speech, Active Agent in Magic. And it talks about the using the cadence and intonation in presenting. Okay, just let me read one paragraph.
Okay.
It must be borne in mind that in a general way, all African traditions postulate a religious vision of the world. The visible universe is thought of as felt as the sign, the concretization of the outer shell of all invisible. The long story short of this, Darren, is that by using speech, you become so comfortable with the way it sounds that they know what they're talking about, and it's comforting. But these people are practicing spiritual, ritualistic magic in speech and in everything they do. And this is what you and I have been talking about for years now, and I know we're not the only ones that recognize it. So by him doing this, I found it interesting, Darren, that he says, my colleagues at the Department of Justice. Well, I thought there was some sort of separation of powers, that you had the legislative, which would be the Department of Justice.
Well, you do, supposedly.
The judicial.
The problem is you have this sprawling. Wait a minute, John. You have this sprawling executive branch, and that's the problem. Much of government has been concentrated at the top. All right, go ahead.
That's what I'm getting at, because the separation is supposed to be between judicial, executive, and legislative. But it's his colleagues. It's not the separate entity of the Department of Justice. It's his colleagues. And we've been successful, and I'm sure we will be then. Well, I guess you will, because you own the Department of Injustice. You control it, just mm-hmm. like you control the other branch that is separate but equal, but not the legislative. I mean, it's complete. And they know. They take it before. It's like me trying to go to federal court. I'm going to lose, because if I'm suing the federal government in a federal court, it's his judge.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting at. And that's why people, Alex Jones told me one time when I called in, you're not very charismatic. And he hung up on me. Okay? Because he's charismatic. You know, he's boisterous, and he's matter-of-fact, and he's angry, mostly loud, and bought and paid for. So what is charisma? You know, what is it to be an eloquent speaker, to be a wordsmith, to be a word master, to have an incredible lexicon, to have a vocabulary of 97,000 words and speak 7 languages? What is it? Is it, you become very charismatic.
Yeah.
You're a wordsmith. And then the wordsmith gets a job leading people down the primrose path like the Pied Piper, playing a tune, speaking a speech, follow me, boys, over the cliff.
Well,
anybody
can tell me that I'm not charismatic, and that's fine. The question is, do you have facts backing what you're saying? Do you have documentation? And we have reams and reams and reams of documentation coming out of our ears. The question is, who's doing what to remedy the situation, and what is our remedy? Unfortunately, people are looking for solutions. And the only solution I can see is your state and local government. And if you don't do... And personal preparedness. Because honestly, unless more people get involved, we're going to go down. So the best thing you can do is be ready for yourself.
The ultimate remedy, Darren, it's important for us to get a hold of legislators and, all the rest. That's all important. But they've got to have the information. If they're not educated, if they're ignorant to the facts, or if they won't listen because it's uncomfortable to go into a place against what they've been taught or led to believe or believed or their father did because he was a representative or a senator, like this radio host in Nashville whose name is Phil Valentine, and he's syndicated on so many radio stations. He says all the right things, but he's speaking trash because it's a little bit of truth mixed with a whole lot of either a lie or mistake. It's mistakes. He's without the information.
Hey, John, hold on just a second. I got a break here coming up. I'll hold you over. Hang on just a minute. We'll be back here, folks. All right, we're back. This is Govern America. The chat room is open at chat.governamerica.com. That's chat.governamerica.com. And Compunzo in the chat room said, regarding the border situation, Red Ronnie started it with his amnesty. And he's absolutely right. Years ago, it was, that's the funny thing about it. Ronald Reagan was really heralded by conservatives and to this day is almost like idolized by the conservatives for all of his policies. And yet, it was Ronald Reagan was one of the Reds in Hollywood. We have that Red Stars over Hollywood. We're going to have to dig that out and add that to our rotation on the stream. Because the Red Stars over Hollywood, Myron C. Fagan, who is a hero in my opinion, came out and exposed Hollywood for being full of communists. Over and over and over again, this battle was being fought. And the communists were outed. And Fagan actually came out and named many of the names. And many of the names would be stars that you recognize from the old movies. And he came out at great personal risk. It threw his career down the toilet, that's for sure. But there were also threats on his life, repeatedly. And he exposed all that. And Ronald Reagan was one of the Reds, ladies and gentlemen. So all this business about, the Soviet Union died, communism fell, it's hogwash. They made a deal to make it look like communism fell. Because if you people are not looking for communism, you're not going to find it. That's perfect for them to have the public to think that communism is dead. So you won't see it as the threat that it really is. And yet it's being sown all around you today. Charlotte Isaby, another American hero, exposed it in the schools. In her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, blew the whistle, gave up her cushy bureaucratic job at the Department of Education to expose. Oh, wait a minute. That was under Red Ronnie, wasn't it? So people need to quit falling for these heroic candidates for public office because all of your heroes are given to you. All right. Before the break, John was talking to us. And, John, I want to get back to you. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I forgot what point I was making, but I'll give you one part of this book, and then I'll go away. It's short. It says, speech may create peace, or it may destroy it. It's like fire. One ill-advised word may start a war, just as one blazing twig may touch off a great conflagration. And it says, ask a question. Listen to this. What puts a thing into condition, that is, arranges it, disposes of it favorably? Speech. What damages a thing? Speech. What keeps a thing as it is? Speech. That is why speech above all, is a great active agent in magic. And that's why people talk the way they do. I talk quick. I try to get a lot of information out quick. There's others that use speech in such a way just like a hypnotist would use speech. If you'll listen to the way a hypnotist speaks and I've never participated, but I've watched people. It's real. I had a friend that was hypnotized and started acting like Marilyn Monroe. It was completely outside of his character. So it works. But if you listen to him, it's speech. It does it. Mm-hmm. And how was the world created? God spoke it into existence. He breathed it into existence. So speech is very powerful. The Bible talks about a tongue being sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, when those words are like fire coming out of your mouth, mm-hmm. according to the Bible. And you can't draw them back in. So be careful, little tongue, what you say.
Yeah.
Little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you hear. And when for you to recognize Josh Earnest's similarities to Barack Obama, and listen to this, man, just the dude's name, Josh, means what? Just kidding. Josh. Yeah.
Lying.
Honestly, earnestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm lying. Honestly, I'm Josh Earnest. That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
That's the guy that's the mouthpiece. That's the guy that's the mouthpiece for the Pharaoh of the United States, folks. He's the king of the U.S.
His name is self-contradictory. Yeah, that's a good point.
But he, you know, he believes he's telling the truth. That's how deceived that dude is.
Yep.
Anyway, I'll make room for someone else. I mean, words mean things. I say that often.
Absolutely.
They really do. And the way that you deliver them makes you a great orator or a raving lunatic.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I don't sound like the latter. But that's, yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean, there's people, you know, they can take a nation into oblivion, fiery, and make them think they're saving them when they do it. Destroy it and make you think they're the hero while they're tearing it apart. Hello.
Yep.
Sound familiar?
Amen. Well, thank you very much.
Man.
Appreciate it. Talk to you later. All right, folks, you're welcome to call in if you want. The toll-free number is 1-844-646-8376. That's 1-844-6-GOVERN, 1-844-646-8376. As we move along, by the way, I want to thank CFR to Hell in the chat room. He posted the Red Stars Over Hollywood video that's there. So if you want to go there and listen, it's in the chat room right now at chat.governamerica.com. Moving along here, we were talking about the border situation, sharing about from KRGV television about how there has been an increase. Things have changed. Ranchers along the border afraid for their lives, afraid for their safety. When they go around their crops, they're finding there are drug plants that are being planted there on their property. They destroy the plants. They can't go around anywhere without their sidearm on them because they fear for their safety on their own property along the U.S.-Mexican border. We talked earlier about how there's a civil war going on with the drug cartels in Mexico. Big-time violence going on. People's heads being chopped off and put in coolers. And we talked a week or two ago about an IED in Texas being found under an overpass. Where did it come from? Could this be drug trafficking cartel activity in the United States? They've already told us that the cartels are already here. They're already operational throughout the United States. Back some, you know, a year ago, I think, or maybe it was a couple of years ago now, there was a beheading found, a beheaded body found near the Hollywood sign in California. So these types of things are continuing to crop up as we see these activities take place here. But this KRGV television, they quote this rancher, "I grew up here," he says, "I did my homework here." He says, "The school bus picked me up here. I feel right at home here. These knuckleheads aren't going to scare me. I got a shotgun. I got a Winchester. I mean, I'm not going to shoot them unless they attack us, attack me." But he won't give his name. He issues a defiant tone, but he's not giving his name to the media because he doesn't want them to publish his name, which means he is scared. Moving along here. That article will be in the show notes.
Also from KRGV, city assisting with influx of people crossing border illegally. This is McAllen, Texas. The impact of people who enter the country illegally is costing taxpayers for now. The city of McAllen is helping with the current influx. The tab is running. McAllen spent $365,736 since the first influx of Central Americans hit the Rio Grande Valley 2 years ago. Now the city is preparing for another wave. The goal is to get ahead of the game by talking to people who run the Sacred Heart Respite Center. Josh Ramirez, which is the McAllen Health Department director, says we have communications on a daily basis, morning and afternoons. 200 people were dropped off at the respite center on Tuesday, and this is dated May 11th. Fresh information, listeners. Ramirez said that Border Patrol has told us that there's been an increase, like we've seen right now. And that was the end of that statement. Last summer was busy, but not as much as the summer before that. Hundreds were at Sacred Heart every day in 2014. Two donated tents were set up at the respite center. The city's tents weren't used over the past year and a half. Now, those tents are on standby again. The city is supplying cots and showers for people to use at the respite center. We don't have enough cots, Ramirez said. The summer months ahead could be busy for Sacred Heart, and undoubtedly that will be the case. And they're saying the city is waiting to get reimbursed by the federal government. So it's all they care about is the money, you see. Bad situation here. In the meantime, we see from the Washington Examiner, feds open Texas border to 4,000 Cubans. Security interview just lasts 1 hour before release. U.S. Border Patrol officials are opening up the Texas border to let 4,000 Cubans in. Taking about an hour to interview them and check their criminal background before letting them enter the United States on their own, where most will stay for life. Now, how do you check their background, ladies and gentlemen? How do you check backgrounds? Are they calling up the Cuban government and asking them, hey, this person have a criminal record? How do you check the background of a Cuban? You're dealing with a country, and I'm talking about Cuba now, where the people go around driving cars from the 1950s or 60s? Do they have databases connected to the Department of Homeland Security so that all of the information on their people are kept in there? How do you check the backgrounds of Cubans? I think it's a scam. They're not checking anybody's criminal background. They're letting them all in. Aware that Panama had airlifted nearly 250 to 4,000 Cubans to the Mexican border near El Paso, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency said it stands ready to process the new immigrants with speed. Oh boy. In fact, faster it takes many Americans to get a driver's license or buy a gun. In an email to the Center for Immigration Studies, which has charted the explosion of Cuban immigration since President Obama approved warmer relations, the Border Patrol said that it is prepared to process the expected increase in Cubans applying for admission at El Paso area ports of entry. CBP officers will process Cuban nationals in accordance with established procedures as expeditiously as possible while maintaining requirements and standards for individuals in our care. And suddenly it becomes very clear why Obama went to Cuba. Why Cuba is opening up. This is an agreement to destroy America. I believe that with all of my heart. That's what this scumbag creep communist in the White House is doing. You disagree with me? Call me. 1-844-646-8376. That's 1-844-6-GOVERN. Moving along, we see from KVOA, investigators Border Patrol Union says directive provides open invitation to undocumented immigrants. They say Border Patrol agents union reps say a directive from the Department of Homeland Security is providing an open invitation to undocumented immigrants wanting to enter the United States, but Customs and Border Protection said it is not the case and that there have been no stand-down directives issued. Yeah. And you can believe them why? What precedent have they ever set for telling the truth? According to National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd, the directive said Border Patrol agents should not issue a notice to appear at deportation hearings. So in other words, they're telling the immigrants, illegals coming in here, not to appear at deportation hearings. That's a directive. Again, according to National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd, the director said Border Patrol agents should not issue a notice to appear at deportation hearings to undocumented immigrants who tell agents they have been in the country since January 2014, even if they cannot provide proof. Another directive issued in November states that an undocumented immigrant's removal will hinge on the judgment of the immigration officer. Quote, if the alien is not a threat to the integrity of the immigration system, or there are factors suggesting the alien should not be an enforcement priority. Do you see what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen? I sound like a broken record. If you don't have borders, you don't have a country. And this is another thing that could be stopped at a state level. Because those border states could take it upon themselves to patrol the borders. And that's what needs to happen. Oh, they'll be sued. Who cares? Let them be sued. And then they can tell the federal government to go pound sand. Because we don't recognize your authority over us. That's what needs to happen. We have a criminal enterprise running this country. Customs and Border Protection released a statement to the news outlet, News 4, investigators, saying agents are still issuing notice to appear summons and there has not been a new directive issued. Somebody's messaging me through Skype. I don't check Skype during the show. I don't have time. I just don't. There's no way I can do that right now. Anyway, the U.S. Border Patrol has not issued any stand-down orders to agents. I think I'm going to leave that article there in the interest of time. It goes on for several more paragraphs. It'll be in the show notes. As most things that we cover are. Here we see from CBS New York, Canadian border presents its own security concerns for the United States. They say the U.S.-Mexican border has been the topic of much debate this election season, but should our national attention be more focused toward our neighbors to the north? The Canadian border, just 300 miles from New York City, presents its own challenges, the scope of which CBS2's Maurice Dubois saw firsthand. All that separates the two countries for miles at a time, split rail fence, blah, blah, blah. They talk about, apparently there was a horse. A Border Patrol agent spotted a horse that can cross the border with no trouble. Anyway, they say, and I'm trying to summarize here, four-legged border jumper is the least of our concerns, U.S. Customs and Border Protection said. We see alien smuggling. We see narcotic smuggling. We see currency smuggling at the U.S.-Canadian border. Agents said much of the activity is heading directly to New York City and our suburbs where the product is sold on our streets. There is a significant amount of violence that is associated with these drugs. Okay, so we got all this going on both in the north and south border. Where is our military? Out of the country. Fighting multiple, numerous, simultaneous theater wars. And I do mean theater wars. We are being left defenseless on purpose. And they talk about homeland security as the lines grow at the airports. I got audio, if we get to it, from Jay Johnson, scumbag DHS director, asking for more money for the TSA. Breitbart, Las Zetas civil war continues. 7 executions in 4 days. Blood, they say, and this is datelined Ciudad Victoria, Tamaulipas. Blood continues to run down the streets from the Las Zetas civil war, with 7 executions in 4 days just last week, despite the many assurances given by the Tamaulipas government. Executions, threatening messages, and terror continue to be daily occurrences in the city as 2 rival factions of the Las Zetas cartel, Cartel del Noreste, or CDN, and Grupo Bravo, fight for control. So it's the Las Zetas, also called Cartel del Noreste, and the Grupo Bravo. They're fighting for control of Ciudad Victoria. Now, they say, as previously reported by Breitbart, Texas, 2 rival factions of the Las Zetas cartel have been fighting for control of the state capital, what I just said. They have been sowing terror and murder in the community as innocent bystanders are caught in the crossfire of the unending number of kidnappings, shootouts, and executions. The spike in executions came after a brief rest period during Easter week, where, for unknown reasons, executions in the Las Zetas civil war apparently stopped for 5 days. On the night of April 29th, violence reignited as unknown gunmen shot and killed one man at a local bar. The following day, April 30th, shortly after 3:30 p.m., authorities responded to another double shooting in the Mexico neighborhood at a local mechanic shop. One person died at the scene while another was rushed to a local hospital where he later died. The violence continued on the evening of March 31st. When authorities responded to a double shooting in the rural community known as La Libertad, both victims are reported to have died at about the same time. Authorities responded to a local bar in Ciudad Victoria's downtown area where another execution took place. In this incident, one man was shot to death. Just one day later, authorities responded to another mechanic shop in the Minero neighborhood for another execution. The victim in that case had also been shot to death. Blood, violence, gore, it's all happening in Mexico right now, and your government is letting your borders be open, listeners. When will it matter? When will it matter? Are the American people going to wait to put up a stink about this? Even as they tell you your daughter has to shower now with dudes? Are you going to wait until things get so bad that you fear for your life, your neighborhoods resemble that of the Mexico neighborhoods right now? As the TSA agents fondle you at the airport and your children. But don't worry, people, they're doing it for the children. They're doing it to keep you safe. Here we see also from Breitbart, trailer with 25 tons of marijuana rolls over Mexican road. No arrests. The Mexican military, they say, has seized more than 25 tons of marijuana from a trailer that appears to have rolled over and been abandoned along a rural road in the Mexican state of Sonora. The seizure took place this week, and this is dated May 6th, so it's a couple of weeks ago, near the rural community of Hudabampo, when a military convoy patrolling the area spotted the rolled-over vehicle and stopped to investigate. Information released to Breitbart, Texas, by the Mexican Army revealed. So that's going on. Here we see also, again, from Breitbart, why is it Breitbart's doing all the reporting about the mess in Mexico? Is there any other media that can talk about this, is my question. And again, I come back to, why is it every time you turn on CNN or Fox News, all you see is president, 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 president? Who's going to be the next scumbag in chief? Who cares? That's what everybody should be saying, because it doesn't matter. Did Mexican authorities cover up killing of passerby in gun battle? Residents, and this is Reynosa. Reynosa, Tamaulipas, residents in this border city claim that a man who was killed last week during a gun battle between Mexican authorities and cartel gunmen was not a criminal as authorities labeled him. Instead, he was a man who inadvertently drove through a gun battle. The shootout took place last Friday, early morning, when, according to information released by the Tamaulipas government, a group of Mexican Marines was attacked by cartel gunmen. The attack set off a short but fierce gun battle that ended with the cartel gunman fleeing. According to Tamaulipas government, one of the gunmen, identified as Oscar Eduardo Ortega Rodriguez, died in the crash. However, residents in this border city claim that Ortega was not a gunman, but in fact he was an innocent victim mistaken for a cartel gunman. How long is it before they're shooting up your neighborhoods where you live in the United States? And I wonder if we have any Mexican people listening. What do you think about this? Give us an update if you can. I guess you can call the toll-free number. I don't know. We also have a number that's not toll-free. Country code is 1. And the number is 646-846-8376. That's 646-846-8376 if you're an international caller, or 646-8-GOVERN. I'll tell you what, I got a top of the hour break. I'll go ahead and take that and we'll continue on the other side. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. We'll be back.
We still stand tall and we still stand free.
I don't know if I agree with that song. I really don't. Because I don't know how anybody can call this country free. And I really don't know how anybody can say that the American people stand strong and fight. I don't see it. I'm sorry. I just don't. I see them capitulating every day. But who is fighting? It's people like this, organizations like this, who obviously are funded very well. WelcomingAmerica.org. If you haven't seen it, you ought to check it out. Welcoming America. I've been wanting to talk about this for probably a month and a half. They say Welcoming America inspires people to build a different kind of a community, one that embraces immigrants and fosters opportunity for all. Doesn't that just sound wonderful, ladies and gentlemen? We are leading a movement of inclusive communities across the nation, becoming more prosperous by making everyone. Okay, now that's a blatant lie. More prosperous? More prosperous for who? Because it certainly isn't the American people. I got an article here. Let me see. Where can I find it? I've got so much stuff here. Okay, here it is. I'll get back to Welcoming America in a moment. The website boingboing.net. Some U.S. poultry factory workers wear diapers at work because they're denied bathroom breaks. This was May 11th, just a few days ago. This was put out. People who work in chicken and turkey processing plants run by America's biggest poultry producers are routinely denied bathroom breaks. Because of this, some resort to wearing diapers while they're at work on the processing line. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how does that make you feel as you're eating your chicken, knowing that the worker who worked on that line that's processing your chicken crapped their pants? I'm sorry to be so crass here, but let's just call it like it is. What is that? How does that make you feel? If what we're being told here is true, and I, anymore, I have no reason to doubt anything. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you see in third world nations. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. We're becoming a third world nation. Yeah, okay. So they say they're wearing diapers at work while they're on the processing line, according to Oxfam America. They said that in a report released Wednesday. The report says they are in danger of serious health problems. Oxfam's immersive website, Lives on the Line, uses multimedia to convey the experiences of workers inside the poultry plant. Now, we're not talking about working conditions in communist China, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about right here in the good old U.S. of A. Land of the free, home of the brave, rah-rah, go America. And we're being told that the workers in our factories that produce our food are messing their drawers. Unbelievable. I mean, truly, it is unbelievable. Workers working in America meat industry, they say, has been awful for laborers for generations. Upton Sinclair's 1906 novel, The Jungle, documented workplace abuses in 1906. And the modern U.S. poultry industry's awfulness was highlighted in the 2008 documentary Food Incorporated. And they go into the report. I'm not going to dwell on this. The article will be in the show notes. It's got links to the report. You can read it for yourself as you're able. My question is, are these American people that are working in these plants? Because you see, people from Mexico, immigrants, are used to being treated like garbage. And when they come here and they're being treated like garbage, they will take it because they're used to being treated like garbage. It's difficult for me to read an article like that and believe that we're talking about U.S. citizens here. Because most of the people who work in plants that I know, unless there's been a drastic mood change in America and people are laying down and taking things, most of these people would stand up and say, you know what, I don't care what you say, supervisor. I got to go to the restroom, so I'm going. So it makes it hard for me to believe that these are real U.S. citizens. My hunch is that many of these plant workers are foreigners. And they're afraid of being deported. There could very well be work visas here. And they're afraid of getting fired. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. All I know is the United States looks more and more like third world America every single day. And there is just another little piece of evidence for you. Now, getting back to welcoming America, because you folks want to be welcoming, don't you? I mean, you really, you want to be friendly. So here's your little happy face. This welcoming America, we connect a broad network of nonprofits and local governments. Now, what have I been saying? The real fight is on a local level? Gee, I guess they're thinking globally and acting locally, aren't they? A broad network of nonprofits and local governments and support them in developing plans, listeners, programs, and policies that transform their communities. Oh, baby, do they really mean that? Transform their communities, into vibrant places. Oh, yeah. Vibrant places where people respect each other and everyone's talents are valued and cultivated. Boy, doesn't this just sound like glory, glory, hallelujah, let's all join hands and sing kumbaya? But because when communities welcome newcomers, they become better places for everyone. Now, folks, you got to know there's money behind this. They talk about the welcoming America model, which includes three approaches: connect, Welcoming America connects leaders in community government and nonprofit sectors, public-private partnerships. Ladies and gentlemen, which is nothing short of fascism. They say our networks provide support both locally and nationally. We build on the great work happening in local communities by providing tested methods and approaches to creating inclusive, welcoming places for immigrants. Do you see how this is being framed? They're working to turn your city into a place to welcome foreigners. Unvetted foreigners. And see, and that's the point, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not against if somebody goes through the processes to do it right. I'm not against legal immigration. I want to make that clear. I'm not anti-foreigner. If they want to go through the process of learning our laws, learning our history, learning our language, learning what we're all about, and they want to be a part of it and assimilate, fine. But foreigners who don't have to go through the process, the proper channels, don't value what they have. If they have to work to get it, then they'll value it. It's like anything else. It's like a child. You give them everything on a silver platter, they will never appreciate anything. You give these people all the greatness of your country, they're going to... And I almost said something that I shouldn't say. They're going to mess. They're going to litter. They're going to destroy it. And that is exactly what's taking place right now. They say in this welcoming America, our goal is to change systems and cultures. We help communities create policy. Oh, I bet you do. Reinforce welcoming principles and communicate the socioeconomic benefits of inclusion. Yeah, poverty. That's what it's called. Poverty. There's your socioeconomic benefits. It benefits the foreigners for a while until there's nothing left to give. Now, they in this Welcoming America, and you can get to this at welcomingamerica.org. Check it out. Spread the message by all means. But please don't donate because they have their hand out. And I'm sure they're well-funded anyway. But they say Welcoming America's national network, and they have a huge map here, with a bunch of stars. Their national network helps nonprofit and government partners transform their communities into more welcoming places for all people, including immigrants. Participating members can connect with peers to share ideas and tools, receive recognition for their efforts. They talk about, on another page, certified welcoming communities. Certified welcoming communities. Don't you want your community to be certified welcoming? I don't. They say, we live in a world where people and businesses are on the move, bringing their talent and investments with them. As communities compete to harness this new source of wealth and vibrancy, research has shown that places are more welcoming, set themselves apart from peers. I'm sorry to laugh. It's not funny. Smart local policy and business leaders across the country are already competing to gain an edge for their communities. Welcoming community certification will provide an exciting new avenue for promoting, guiding, and validating these efforts. Welcoming America has released the first draft of what it takes to be a welcoming community, a welcoming standard. And now we need your feedback. Blah, blah, blah. They talk about the standards, what the criteria is going to be. They say, we know the end goal is to create an inclusive place where everyone can reach their greatest potential and create and contribute to a prosperous economic and flourishing culture. But to get there, we know communities are looking for clear standards to guide their progress. That's why we'll be working with the nation's leading experts, practitioners, academics. I'll bet you'll be working with academics. We talk a lot about academics on this show, don't we? Community colleges. If you haven't, by the way, if you didn't hear last week's show, you need to go back into the archives and listen to it. because we got into the increased role of community colleges with Vicki Davis. Last week is one we'll probably end up running again, because people need to hear that. But they're working with academics in this Welcoming America, business and civic leaders, to create a common standard. A common standard for cities, towns, and communities looking to deepen their work and set themselves apart. Now, why would any local community adopt such a thing? Well, and you can say that they wouldn't adopt such a thing, except that we've seen that they have adopted things like the International Property Maintenance Code. There are many places that have adopted that. There are many places that are... Did you ever think, ladies and gentlemen, 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that we would have something called sanctuary cities in this country? Did you ever imagine that? I don't think we had that 10 years ago. I don't remember that being a reality. Oh, we had an immigration problem 10 years ago. But sanctuary cities? I don't remember that being an issue. Now it's just common, a part of the vernacular every day. Anybody out there have any thoughts? 1-844-646-8376. What do you think of Welcoming America? Do you want this in your city? If not, what are you doing about it? Because I can guarantee you, the enemy, and that's who these people are, your enemy. If you're listening to this broadcast because you care about America, these people are your enemy, and they are active. They're probably very, very well funded. I don't have a bit of doubt about that. They talk about Welcoming Global. Apparently, they're involved in Germany, Australia as well. I know we have at least one listener in Australia that I've heard from. We have they're involved there as well. So it's not just America. They have a Welcoming Institute they talk about, which delivers, they say, dynamic, innovative online and in-person trainings, workshops, listeners, workshops on how do you turn your city into a cesspool of illegal immigration. Now, that's not their words, it's mine. But that's what their workshops are designed to do. Proactive and reactive technical assistance, resources, education, and more to advance inclusion and welcoming for new Americans. Because you see, in this global neighborhood, we're all new Americans. We're all Americans now. Everybody's American. I could spend the rest of the show probably on this, but I won't. They are having a workshop, actually what they call Welcoming Week. Connecting Neighbors, Serving Communities. And this is going to be taking place May 26th at 2 p.m. They're going to have an event. Anyway, it's all on welcomingamerica.org. Do you have any thoughts? 1-844-646-8376. And we do have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Daniel in FEMA Region Niner.
Hi, Daniel. How you doing? You want is FEMA Region Nine?
You're cheering me up.
Are you in a welcoming community? Is FEMA Region Nine a welcoming community?
Well, since this is the former People's Republic of Kalifornsky, I would say it probably is. I'm in a smaller community called Sun City. That was its own unincorporated area.
Mm-hmm.
But just before I moved in, they voted to accept the absorbing amoeba of a nearby town called Menifee, and the first thing they did, of course, was set up speed traps and some other revenue-enhancing things. That has passed. There was an outcry about that. But the city, with the new tax money, did build themselves a new temple for us to go worship them if we want.
Oh, lovely.
Special dispensation. Now, the town is called Menifee, but when I write them or anything, I call it many fees because they add on these on your property tax bill. They add on these things. You're not because of Prop 13 in California. Technically, they're not allowed to raise the property tax except in certain instances, but they got around it with fees that the localities are allowed to add, and they add up. It's sort of like looking at a phone bill, you know, where you've got the helping the hard of hearing and helping the hard of seeing and the hard of feeling, and, you know, they just keep finding new ways. But anyway, so I just call it many fees.
Yeah, good name.
What I'm calling about is reacting to what you said. I'm thinking, too, of the Strong Cities Network.
Is that called? Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. Well, we got to cheer each other up with these things when you're on the
air.
I listen to you.
Yeah, what I was going to say is I feel I'm a little bit sorry that I have to be the bearer of such bad news. I tried to introduce a little humor into things from time to time, and then I get shot down by people saying I'm being silly. So, it's, you know, you can't please all the people all the time. But
silly, no.
Try to be lighthearted a little bit wherever we can, because you're right. It's a lot of people just the reason why a lot of people don't listen to shows like this is they just can't handle it. They can't handle the truth. Too much truth. They just go into overload and don't want to hear it. And I know, because I have friends like this.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's a common thread. I get on Facebook a lot, mainly because I can interact with a lot of people that way. And I tend to write things, and I try to write them a lot of times as questions. But a lot of people are just in denial, and they don't want to have to think that the world isn't what has been presented to them. That the world, I don't say the world in that sense, but the political world, let's say, the man-made part of it, is because I think the Garden of Eden is still here. It's just been paved over. And so we just have to look for it, and we'll find it. But I think government is the number one enemy. Every story that you come up with, these idiots at Oxfam and these other places that you're talking about, the UN. Now, where could anybody that works for the UN get a real job, you know, a real productive job? Would you hire them?
No.
I sure wouldn't. Most of them are just crooks and lazy idiots.
Yeah, but and you could say that their policies have been an abject failure, but the reality is, when you realize what the goals are, it's not a failure at all. They've been a roaring success.
Right. And I say the same about Obama. People say, oh, he's a failure as a president. And I say, well, not for what his true mission is.
Exactly.
And I don't pick on him, because you could pick the last 10 of them, and they all did the same thing in different increments.
Mm-hmm.
So the party affiliation doesn't seem to matter. I even wonder if the libertarians got big, if they wouldn't be just as corrupt.
I think so.
The reason that they're relatively good is because they're small and don't have all those temptations, because the temptations for power and wealth, that attracts all the scumbags that we talk about. And so I think the problem is having something called government that you're giving powers and rights that we don't have. In other words, I can't come to your bank account and take money out of it because I want some and I want to sprinkle a little bit on my old mother. But government can say, oh, these old people over here need this and need that, therefore we're going to take this out of your bank account. You know, before you even see it, we're going to take it out of your paycheck. And I don't think it's even moral to give them powers that we don't have as individuals. We have the right of self-defense, and that's something that I think originally in the Constitution was probably what this government was supposed to be able to do was defend us if there was such a thing as an invasion. But you've got some very tiny countries that don't have the problems that we supposedly have defending ourselves. I mean, who couldn't march through Liechtenstein or maybe even Norway or some country like that that is very small and just take them over? So that doesn't happen. So what? Why should we be afraid of invasion? We're protected by oceans on, you know, two of our very big coasts.
Yeah.
And so,
well, and this is what people don't realize.
I think those are all excuses. Government.
People don't realize that we're already being invaded. This is, how, you know, what the stories I just covered are indicative of the fact that, this is how invasion happens. It won't happen this way in America, where we have a foreign power come in and, you know, set up troops and everything. I mean, at least not immediately. Maybe someday that will happen. Who knows? And if it does, I can guarantee you, the feds will probably be right there on the side of the invading power. But the invasion is already underway. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that, again, the problem is traced to government itself. Mm-hmm. And we have this big, immoral, powerful organization that most of us, either by tacit approval or by actual support, if we could only vote for the right saint, then he wouldn't be corrupted and he would help us and save us. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. And therefore, I think that the real way to protect ourselves is to start ourselves defunding government wherever we can and to the extent we can, to live in such a way that we're not paying into this monster and that we do what Gandhi said. People ask Gandhi, well, how can you fight the British? They have guns and cannon and all these soldiers. And his answer was, we will deny them our obedience. And that's basically what they did.
Yeah.
They didn't, because violence, government loves violence. You know, they want us to pick up our rifles and start marching. Because then they get to use all their nice, shiny toys and weapons, and they have an excuse for the soldiers that might not want to come to our house to take our guns or our property. They can point to them and say, look, these guys are marching the street. They are violent extremists.
Hey, Daniel, I got the bottom of the hour break coming up. Did you want to hold over the break?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. We'll finish up with Daniel here on the other side. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back.
There's an eagle high above the ashes, close by the flag we're fighting for. And there's a brave new spirit in America, united forever.
We're back. This is Govern America. That's Luca Zana bringing us back into the broadcast. GovernAmerica.com is the website, www.governamerica.com. My email address, radio@governamerica.com. That's radio@governamerica.com. And just a program note, once again, I want to remind you that I will not be here live next week. I have an engagement I have to attend. And so that will pull me away. I will not be here available to do the show. I should be back after next week. We'll try to find something really good in the way of a classic Govern America to run instead of the live show. So we will have something here just for the affiliates, but we will not be here live next week. The week after, we should be back. So anyway, before the break, we were talking with Daniel I believe he said he was in California. Is that correct, Daniel?
Yes, that's correct.
And he was outlining a solution for us, you know, withholding to the best of our ability, and it is tough, funding for the beast. You know, as I see Daniel from the Washington
right.
Post here, we have, it says, it has a headline from April 19th, say goodbye to your neighborhood bank branch. They're talking about, as technology transforms banking, like it has so many other sectors, the consequence could be a dramatic decline in the industry's outposts over the next decade. Apparently, more people are doing banking online, more people are doing banking over over apps. And we know that a number of people have a number of entities, people, and organizations all around the world have called for the elimination of cash. So where I think we're going with this, in my opinion, and I'll get your take on this, is that eventually people are going to be forced into a situation where they're going to have to reinstitute bartering systems. What do you think?
Yes, that would be along the lines of what I've talked about, because then that wouldn't be tracked by Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's even started with these crypto, so-called cryptocurrencies, whether or not, let's say, Bitcoin is the actual answer. I think it points the way for freedom-oriented people that something that we can use that doesn't involve government monopolies, which is all the our so-called money is, that it's an enforced monopoly, that if you, we can do things by cooperative, non-coercive means, that's the real answer, and that's the ultimate answer, I think, for what we call civilization, that we can have peace, we can have harmony. For the most part, there'll always be crooks, but they won't have the power that the crooks in government get.
Yeah. Well, the only problem I see with cryptocurrencies is that it looks to me like, you know, there again, your money's in the cloud. You know, it's...
Well, that's right.
It can go poof.
And that's something that should be addressed. Well, actually, you can have your own wallet, as I understand it. I don't do it this way, and I only have 2 Bitcoin, but I thought I'd buy into it and see what happened. And I like diversifying. You know, I've got metals, I've got cash, I've got as much diversifying wealth as I can afford to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one way of doing it. But, you know, you can have your own Bitcoin wallet with you. And so enough people do that that you can... You'd still have to network in some way, I believe. I don't have all the details, but you still can have the proof that you have Bitcoin can be on your own computer.
Yeah. Well,
so that's helpful. Let me just add one thing, if I may, and then you
sure.
get on with your show, which I really enjoy, by the way. I'm listening through the Information Corner, Sam Britton's Information Corner,
yep.
on my Wi-Fi radio. So I just wanted you to know I was listening that way.
Cool. Yeah, by the way, I'll just give a plug.
Okay, for everything you
do. I'm sorry, you broke up there? I was just going to say, Yeah, there's a little bit of delay, and that it's this great telecommunication system we got today that just uses voice over IP. Apparently, they're doing away with the old POTS telephone system, POTS standing for plain old telephone service, I think. And they're doing away with the old solid-state stuff, and it's all got to be internet-based now. So we're putting all of our eggs in one basket. And so now we've introduced a number of delays, and, you know, so... But anyway, I just wanted to give Sam's website a plug, theinformationcorner.com. He does a great job over there, and he does a four-hour show every week, so you can check him out. He's well-grounded. Not a lot of hype, not a lot of drama, just plain old common sense, which is what we need today. Common sense. Imagine that.
Right, and I think you provide that too.
Thank you, I appreciate that. God bless you, Daniel.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Same to you.
Whoops. All right, yep. Have a good day. All right, folks, we're going to move on here in the interest of time. Now, there's an organization called the Partnership for a New American Economy. Partnership for a New American Economy. And I just, a local TV journalist I believe this was Fargo, North Dakota, KXJB Television in Fargo. They were exposing this this partnership for a new American economy. Just the name itself ought to tell you that there is a coup d'etat happening in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Breaking news tonight. The Partnership for a New American Economy recently chose Fargo as one of the 20 cities that was awarded the Gateways for Growth Award. It's based on Fargo's welcoming attitudes towards immigrants and new Americans. Good evening and welcome to 630 Point of View. I'm Chris Berg. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, before I get into Fargo being selected as a Gateways for Growth Award winner, I want to share with you some of the polling we did late last year here at Valley News Live, asking you, the people of Cass and Clay County, how you felt about refugee resettlement right here in our community. Now, when we asked you, do you support or oppose the continued resettlement of refugees in the Fargo-Moorhead area, 28% of you said you support it, 57% said you oppose it, and 15% of you were still undecided. Now, for those of you that actually oppose continued refugee resettlement here in our community, we also, what's the primary reason that you oppose refugee resettlement here? The number one reason that you said is that you opposed continued refugee resettlement in our community because you said, hey, not in my backyard, they should go somewhere else. So when you see that 57% of the people in our community polled said they opposed continued refugee resettlement, 43% of those said, hey, this is not the right place for them in our community, not in our backyard, basically. You can imagine my surprise when I found out that Fargo, along with 19 other cities, half of them, by the way, being sanctuary cities, if you know that term, was chosen by the Partnership for a New American Economy, whatever that's supposed to mean. I'll talk more about that organization here in just a moment. But as a winner of this grant program called the Gateway for Growth Award, Fargo won this based on our quote-unquote welcoming attitude towards immigrants and new Americans. Now, the grant is primarily used for educating, wait till you hear this, primarily used for educating you and I, the public, on the merits of expanded immigration. Which will lead me back to, who is the Partnership for a New American Economy? This is a group which is headed by Michael Bloomberg, Rupert Murdoch, Steve Ballmer, Bob Iger from Disney. Remember the old Disney company just recently that was asking the American employees that employed to train cheaper foreign labor so the American could essentially train themselves out of a job? Yeah, that Disney. These are the bigwigs that want basically open borders for cheap labor to make their shareholders happy with bigger returns. Also a member of the Partnership for the New American Economy is Grand Forks Mayor Michael Brown. Now, I spoke with Mayor Brown's community and government relations person earlier today. His name is Peter Haga. He said he was not exactly sure why Brown is a member of this organization, and he assumed it had to do with dealing with immigration and workforce issues, saying that, hey, Grand Forks is doing any and everything it can to bring in new workers to help fill the lack of workforce. Again, many people would say that's just basically cheap labor. Now, the Partnership for a New American Economy also partners with an organization called Welcoming America, which, oh, by the way, is partially funded by none other than, we can bring him up here, this guy, hopefully we're going to show you in a moment, George Soros.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you see why I'm playing this clip? This is a local news station exposing Welcoming America. Remember earlier when I was sharing from their website, this welcomingamerica.org, all the programs, all the plans, all the things that they were working on, doing. And I said, there's got to be a lot of money behind this. Because all of the things are happening, these things don't just spring up by chance. George Soros is devoted to the complete and total destruction of this country. And you have George Soros very closely working and affiliated with the White House. Very closely affiliated. So what does that tell you? There is a conspiracy. And no, it's not a theory. It is a fact. To bring foreigners in, flood your country so that they can squeeze American citizens out. Your country is being morphed and being stolen, literally stolen right out from under you. And this is one other thing I want to say about this report, and I'll get back to it here in a minute, because he's got a lot of other good things to say. This is exactly why the FCC is doing its best to kill local television, to kill local broadcasters. They're stealing the spectrum right out from under the TV stations. Yeah, a lot of the local TV stations, they don't report a lot of things. A lot of them parrot the national media and parrot the dialectics. But you do have reporters on a local level sometimes. Ben Swan, look at him. How many times did he go on his Fox affiliate when he was there and expose what was happening in America? Once in a while, you'll get a TV station that actually tells some truth. And they tell things that are happening locally. We played a clip about that guy who noticed the surveillance boxes on the poles near his house. That was exposed through a local TV station. This is why the FCC, in my opinion, is doing its best to kill local television. We cannot have any truth seeping out in this day where local reports can be disseminated over the internet. Anyway, back to the KXJB TV reporter exposing the partnership for a new American economy.
If you're not familiar with Mr. Soros, please Google him. He is a big, big proponent of open borders. Now, many people who are critics of Welcoming America and this new partnership for a new American economy are coming out and warning people about an all-out propaganda campaign really focused on the 20 cities that won this Gateways for Growth Award and or grant, which, as I just mentioned, Fargo is one of those 20 cities. Now, some are saying this campaign will include elected leaders, such as possibly Mayor Brown from Grand Forks. Now, I bring all this up tonight because starting tomorrow, Lutheran Social Services in North Dakota is hosting its second Building Bridges Conference titled New Americans Building Bridges 2016. This year's theme is Hope Renewed, A Chance to Thrive. I'm going to give you an idea of a couple things that are on the agenda tomorrow and Thursday, just to give you an idea of what this conference is all about. By the way, Valley News Live team Bradford Eric will be covering this conference for you. We'll have more about this entire conference tomorrow night here on the show and obviously in our newscast. Now, tomorrow morning, kicking off the event, this year's keynote speaker is Larry Bartlett. Mr. Bartlett is the Director of Refugee Admissions for the U.S. State Department. He's going to be speaking on how do we build bridges. Then Jessica Thomason, the CEO of Lutheran Social Services of North Dakota, as well as city leaders from Fargo, West Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks, they're going to be as well. They're going to be talking about changing demographics, diversity, a new normal. Another talk is going to be about refugee resettlement 101, and obviously much, much more. You can check the agenda online at lssnd.org. Quick note here, Christy Ulrich, she's with Lutheran Social Services. She called me last week to have the CEO, Jessica Thomason, on my morning show, North Dakota Today. Unfortunately, we didn't have any availability on that show. So I asked Christy, hey, can you help me out here? Can you get Mr. Bartlett and Jessica Thomason on POV tonight? Unfortunately, after I made that request, I never heard back from Christy. In her defense, maybe she'll get us some guests for POV for tomorrow or possibly Thursday to talk more in detail about this conference and what's going on with this new partnership for an American economy. Now, I wanted to share all this with you so that you're aware of what's happening in our community. You can be informed about what exactly is going on. I want to encourage you to go check out this event. It's at the Holiday Inn tomorrow and Thursday. Also, I want to let you know I tried to reach out to this associated with the Gateway for Growth Award, this new partnership for American economy. I've not heard back from anyone at this point about that. So look, I don't know if this Building Bridges Conference and this partnership for New American Economy are tied together or not. I can't prove it at this point. All I'm saying is be aware of what these big open borders corporations want. And if you look at President Barack Obama's obviously refugee strategy for our nation, there's some interesting things coming down the pipeline. I'm going to keep it at that for now. Again, we'll have more on this tomorrow night and throughout the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard was a real journalist. This guy will never, ever get a job at CNN or Fox News, I promise you that. Or any of the big media networks. But this is why local media is very important. All right. Now, there is a video that was put out by this Welcoming America. I think it might be instructive for us to listen to some of what they have to say.
So everybody, one time or other, we're outsiders. You know, it's like a melting pot, they call it.
Melting pot.
Saying how you became American. So give them time. They will become American.
Oh, sure. Everybody become American. No. No. And how did I become American? Guess what? I was born here. Okay? That's how I became American. Anyway, she goes on.
My name is Meena Giri. I am an employment specialist. I work for Church World Service.
Church World Service.
In Lancaster. Since 2008. So what? 7 years? Mostly I work with the client to find out what kind of job they like, what is their qualification, what is their, you know, previous experience and all that. And then work with the employers to see if they can match, I can find a job for them. The best thing, I feel very happy when I find a job and they start working and they are doing good job. So that's rewarding, you know. So I feel happy that I helped somebody. Greenleaf is a warehouse where they plant a lot of flowers, other herbs and other kind of thing. And they supply, it's a wholesaler, they supply to the wholesaler. Cindy is the personnel manager there, so she, whenever she needs anybody, she will call us first. So they've been hiring most of our people, so a lot of clients, they love it. Marriott is a hotel, and when they open in Lancaster, they were hiring again a lot of our clients, and they've been hiring our clients. We are very thankful to them. All these refugees are hardworking people, you know, and they are doing their jobs. They are very honest and responsible, you know. So Lancaster gets benefit because businesses, you know, also gets a benefit because they get the good workers. The landlord gets a benefit because they are the good tenant. They are welcoming.
All right. That's the video from the Church World Service, from the Welcoming America people, who she says she works for the Church World Service. That's the main thing I wanted you to get out of that video. Okay, so she's an employment specialist. When they come here, she finds them a job, okay? But they're affiliated with the Church World Service. Now, if you go to the Church World Service Global website, cwsglobal.org talks about who's funding them, their income expenditures, July 1st, 2014 to June 30th, 2015, total revenue was $77,742,927. Some of this, okay, 64%. 64%, ladies and gentlemen, 64.4% was from the U.S. government. Talk about funding your own demise. You have public and community appeals. That's 23.7%. And the rest of it is broken down into, you know, other smaller brackets. The smallest amount, by the way, is donated materials. So the overwhelming majority of the Church World Service's funding is from the U.S. government. Now, there is a website called reform-theology.org. Because when I hear Church World Service, I think of the National Council of Churches. Why is that? Because they're affiliated. What is the National Council of Churches? If memory serves me correctly, they're a communist front organization. And according to this Reformed Theology website, that is exactly what they're confirming. They say on here about the Church World Service and the National Council of Churches, claiming to speak with authority for some 42 million American Christians, the National Council of Churches of Christ includes 33, and there's 33 again, ladies and gentlemen. Gee, why would it be 33? 33 denominations representing most of the major Protestant and Orthodox churches in the United States. In addition, more than a score of denominations, not actually members of the National Council of Churches, have participated actively in its radical programs. Headquartered at 475 Riverside Drive in New York City, the National Council functions through dozens of interlocking departments grouped under four major divisions overseeing the NCC's international operations. The program is of such magnitude that in 1968 alone, the National Council of Churches expended over $19 million on a worldwide network of leftist projects. In that year, however, the NCC collected $24,819,000 from gullible American Christians and tax-exempt leftist foundations. They're talking about... Let me see here. Okay. David Emerson Gumar spent 2 years within the youth apparatus of the Communist Party as an undercover operative for the Chicago Police Intelligence. In December of 1967, he accepted the invitation of the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee to testify in executive session regarding his knowledge of the activities and personnel of the W.E.B. Du Bois clubs and the Students for a Democratic Society. Mr. Gomer is currently a contributing editor to the Review of the News and has lectured widely. He's the one that wrote this piece that I've been reading here. In which it includes, during the meeting of this group's, the National Council of Churches General Assembly in San Diego in February of 1968, a presentation titled NCC Ministries and the Communist World revealed that in 1967, $1,584,000 had been given to the communist government of Poland through a National Council of Churches ongoing ministry called Church World Service. That's really the punchline to what I was trying to go with this whole thing. So the National Council of Churches, ladies and gentlemen, is a communist front organization, apparently. And I have to say apparently, because who knows how litigious this group is. But if the evidence spells it out, then that's got to be what it is. And if I'm wrong, I'm correctable. John in Tennessee is, I think, on the line again. John, go ahead. We're almost up to the end of the show.
My ears are deceiving me, Darren.
Yeah.
$77 million to Church World Services, the majority of which is given to them by the United States.
Yep.
So let me understand this, because I'm dumb as a box of rocks.
I don't think so.
Separation of church and state. You can't do things in the American churches unless you're 501c3, or they're going to come get you. They'll persecute you for your tax money, even though you shouldn't be taxed. And people, atheists included, they ought to be outraged because atheists pay taxes, and they're supporting the Council of World Churches, or whatever that organization was, to the tune of $60-plus million a year to provide church and for a God that they don't even believe that exists.
Yeah.
They ought to be outraged. The homosexuals and the hermaphrodites and the transsexuals and the transhumanist and the man-beast and the man-boy, they ought to be outraged that their tax money is going to support.
Okay, John, but see, here's the thing. There's another thing here, which is the Refugee Council USA. Listen to this.
I'm Naomi Steinberg, and I am the director of Refugee Council USA. Refugee Council USA is a coalition of 25 organizations, including the 9 national resettlement agencies, but also a variety of organizations that focus on a diverse set of refugee protection issues. And our purpose is to do combined advocacy work here in Washington, D.C., and to be authority on refugee resettlement and integration in the United States. Resettlement really takes place at the local level, and if the receiving communities are not aware of who the refugees are and the contributions they are making to those local communities, we also certainly run the risk of it not being a fully successful process. You can't resettle into a community if the receiving community doesn't know who you are. Because if they don't know who you are, that just breeds opportunities for misperceptions, tensions, fears. So in order for that to be a really beneficial process for both the newcomers and those who have been in the communities longer, there has to be a concerted effort to make sure that everybody understands why refugees have arrived and the great contributions they make to
the local great contributions. Anyway, I don't have time to get into the Refugee Council USA. You can get to their website at rcusa.org. I highly encourage people to check it out because these are the organizations working on the grassroots to destroy your nation. And
well, I would urge people, Darren, to look into Operation Minerva. I know I talk about it a lot, but it's going on all over the world, not just in this country.
Yeah.
People are these nations are being destroyed by design.
Amen. John, we got to go. I'm sorry. Right. We're out of time. Just bye-bye. Too much to discuss. God bless you, folks. Pray for this republic. Do what you can to restore it. Next week, we'll have a rebroadcast. We'll be back the week after. God bless you, folks. And we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.